Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events and life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. In this week's program, I'd like to get back to the subject I discussed 3 weeks ago, entitled, Who Are the Rioters? There is much more to be said about the character of the people behind this Antifa, anti-police, anti-racism protest movement. The movement appears to be instigated by a very small minority of radicals, but nevertheless, the movement is ideologically supported by many Americans who lean toward the political left. And it's really the support of the larger society that's the greatest concern. In a recent Gallup poll, 65%, two-thirds of the American public are claiming to support these protests. Now, in my last program, I explained that these rioters are the violent men we are warned about throughout the Bible. Psalm 11, verse 5, the one who loves violence, God's soul hates. Psalm 140, verse 1, rescue me, O Lord, from evil men, preserve me from violent men. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. These rioters are also the spoiled ingrates and the unthankful referred to in the Bible. Romans chapter 1, verse 21, neither were they thankful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. These people are also the insolent. Proverbs 13:10, through insolence comes nothing but strife. Proverbs 21:24, proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. Romans chapter 1, verse 30, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. These rioters are also what the Bible calls the malcontents. Jude 16, these are malcontents, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly. These rioters are the scoffers. Psalm chapter 1, those who sit in the seat of scoffers. Proverbs 24:9, the scoffer is an abomination to men. And these rioters are the fools. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23, doing wickedness is sport to a fool. Proverbs 12, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. A fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. Proverbs 29:11, a fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. The reason I want to address again this topic of who are the rioters is because this brings us to the important biblical doctrine of man and sin. This gets at the heart of what's wrong with this world. People are dead in their trespasses and sin. They live according to the lust of their flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and they are by nature children of wrath. And that is everyone. That is everyone's default condition. Let's remember that the rioters are us. As G.K. Chesterton once said, what is the problem with this world? I am. I was recently watching the new Christian movie, Free Burma Rangers. Highly recommended movie. And the missionary, David Eubanks, has been working to organize the Karen people in Burma to defend themselves against the state, the Burmese army. But in the movie, he says something very true and very wise. Quote, it would be simple if the world was just like Lord of the Rings. Here is the humans and the elves and the dwarfs and the hobbits, and we're pretty good. And there is the evil orcs, and they're all terrible. And so the line of evil is here. They're all evil, and we are all good. But in real life, the line of good and evil isn't between us and other people. As Alexander Solzhenitsyn said, the line is in our hearts. Each human's heart. This is the first battle. So are we the rioters? Yeah, we are. Now, the Christian can actually say we were the rioters. But now we are new creations in Christ, but still being in the old flesh and being in the old mind. We can still be tempted and deceived by the same old fleshly attitude of the rioters. But if we grow in Christ, the flesh can grow weaker and weaker, and the holiness within us can grow stronger and stronger. But let's remember, if it weren't for the saving grace of Christ, we too would be out there rioting and pillaging. We too would be self-deceived. So in this whole discussion of rebuking and correcting the rioters, let's remember that we are sinners reaching out to sinners. We are people saying we were just like you, but Christ saved us. Now, there's so much that still needs to be said about the rioters and the riots, but in this program, I want to focus on the deception of sin, the deceptive ideology. Because the deception of sin is so powerful that no person can overcome it without the supernatural enlightenment of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Even though these rioters are wicked, mockers, scorners, fools, malcontents, ingrates, men of violence, these people sincerely believe they are good, that they're freedom fighters, that they're morally justified and morally superior to everyone else. It would be one thing if we were living in a world in which everyone who does evil knows he does evil and even freely admits that he works for Satan. But we don't live in that world. We live in a world in which everyone who does evil thinks he's doing righteousness. And we ask, how can that be? Well, in short, because his actions feel right. The morally unhealthy person has feelings of greed, envy, jealousy, and violence, and says to himself, hey, these are good feelings. I like these feelings. I'm going to feed these feelings because they make me feel better. They help me overcome my insecurities. The morally healthy person has those exact same feelings, no more, no less, and says to himself, those are evil feelings. When I feel envy or jealousy or greed or pride, I need to put them down and replace those feelings with feelings of love and forgiveness and peace and personal responsibility. And that makes all the difference between those who go down the path of righteousness and those who go down the path of evil. Or as Jesus said in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word and in an honest and a good heart, hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Or as Paul writes in Romans chapter 2, to those who by perseverance and doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality and eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. There are two paths before every soul, and those who entertain and justify evil beliefs move into greater and greater darkness. And we can go even deeper into our understanding of this human justification of sin. The person who embraces a wrong worldview does so because he is affirming himself. He considers himself the authority. He doesn't recognize or heed the law of God in his conscience, the law of God outside of himself, because the law of God contradicts him. So in short, he doesn't like being convicted of sin. He doesn't judge himself to be that bad. So what is right and wrong in this world is based upon his own feelings. What results in his own personal gain, his own empowerment. So if any ideology or movement makes him feel better about himself, or makes him feel superior, then it must be right. In other words, right and wrong is judged on how he feels, not the external law of God. If the rioting makes him feel righteous and superior, then the rioting must be right. So the reason for the powerful deception of sin is because the foundation for ethics is on the wrong foundation. And that's why the Pharisees and Sadducees thought they were doing right when they put Jesus on the cross. Because it helped them. It favored them. They were making the foundation for right and wrong themselves rather than God. Now, right now there are plenty of pundits and reporters covering the riots. But what we're not hearing much of is sound, compelling refutation of the ideology. a refuting of the gainsayers Paul talks about in Titus chapter 1, verse 9. These gainsayers are called in the next verse rebellious men, empty talkers, and deceivers, who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families and really whole cities, whole nations. But in that regard, someone might ask the question, will these gainsayers even listen to biblical reason and truth? I mean, when we talk to the left, it seems like we're talking to a brick wall. Well, they probably won't listen, especially the staunch ideologues. But it's the wider public we'll be reaching. By the church refuting the error, the public will be drawn away from these false teachers. And I believe that's what Paul is getting at in Titus chapter 1, verse 11, when he writes that these false teachers must be silenced. I mean, it's not as if these false teachers will hear the teaching of the apostles and say, oh, we're wrong. I'm just so glad you explained the error of our ways. No, I believe the point that Paul is making is they get silenced because they no longer get the support of the households and the families. They no longer have a voice or a platform because they lose their audience. And in our current situation, that would be the general public, the low information voters. Remember the communist Bolsheviks in Russia in 1910 were a very small vocal minority. They only succeeded because there was no voices on the right to warn the public and uncover the deception. Well, let me again emphasize the power of this deception on the left. These rioters are looting and burning because they believe they are identical to the French resistance in World War II, fighting the invading Nazis. You know, the French resistance blew up railways, set fire to buildings, you know, sabotaged the Nazi government occupying France. And so since they judge Donald Trump and the Republicans to be hateful Nazis, racist, xenophobic, misogynistic, homophobes, therefore they believe they have every right to engage in violence. And they believe it's justice. Oh, and by the way, the irony is that these people, Antifa, the anti-fascists, don't even recognize that Nazi means a National Socialist Party. And these Antifa people are all socialists. Well, anyway, these rioters on the left further justify their actions by having an explanation for our moral objections against them. They claim that the reason that those on the right are calling them evil is because we are blinded to our own evil. The left has developed a whole anthropology to justify this, and it's called white privilege and systematic racism, where the left is claiming that people on the right are oppressive racists and they don't even know it, where oppressors never know that they are the oppressors. And unless you become woke and have an almost religious experience of leftist enlightenment, you will remain blind in your systematic racism that causes you to support property rights, pro-life, personal responsibility, and police. So what's happening, the left is saying against us the exact same thing we're saying against them. They're calling us spiritually blind, fools, scorners, mockers, ingrates. So just recognize this is what we're up against. Not just evil, but evil claiming to be righteousness. And if you ever get into a discussion with these people on social media, you know how impossible it is to talk with these people. Their worldview and their foundation for morality is so far off, it's like trying to unscramble eggs. And this is where social discourse breaks down and where a people in society begin to say, hey, I'll just meet you on the battlefield. The only way to win is for the good to just pick up arms against evil. And then we have a civil war. And everyone hopes and prays that it results in the victory for those who are truly on the right, according to God's standards. But before we get to that point, let's have some confidence in the power of God's truth. That the word of God is more powerful than the sword. And if we speak the truth in love, it can change people. Because truth is not relative. It's not just my truth versus your truth. There is an absolute truth. And there is one side and one position that will prevail because it is truth. And it can silence the gainsayers. Notice the text, Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Paul does not write, well, Titus, you can't convince anyone. It's simply going to be a stalemate. You might as well pick up arms and slay your opponents. No, Paul says, you need to hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching. And by that, you will be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. So, in the time I have left, let me take the word of God and take another swing at the left and these rioters. And the first swing is to repeat the biblical teaching I shared last time. Regardless of all of the justifications and the rationale for these riots coming from the left, we are to know that a position, a movement is evil. If it breaks windows, loots, sets fires, curses, screams, disrespects law enforcement, and is not out creating goods and services for other people. In other words, not working. This last weekend, two LA police officers were ambushed and shot while sitting in their car. Then protesters showed up at the hospital shouting, "Death to police." If you were one of those protesters, or if you were like the city manager who said this is just the chickens coming home to roost for these police officers, you're one of the baddies. You're not part of the French resistance fighting the Nazi invaders because you don't have a situation where you have a mandate from God's established government to fight a foreign invader. You're just being an insurrectionist. And remember, because the deception of sin is so powerful, this is why Jesus gave a special instruction on how to discern who is right and who is wrong. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, "By their fruits you will know them." So any movement that engages in destructive violence is evil, and any movement that disrespects the governing authorities established by God is evil. Also James chapter 3, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds and gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy or selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing." So, the testimony of the violence and what the Word of God says about violence will help change the minds of people in the right direction. Now, my second swing of the Word of God is to hit at the ideological foundation of this movement. This leftist movement is based on a denial of sin, a denial of the doctrine of original sin. God says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." But this protest movement, Antifa, BLM, critical race theory, and all of the intersectional isms joined together in support of this, are claiming the age-old lie that sin is a product of the environment. That all of our problems do not stem from our own moral failures, but stem from the laws, the institutions, and the responsibility that God has set up. And in this, we need to just look at the teachings of Rousseau and the French Revolution, because what's happening in America today is identical to the philosophy and the practices in the French Revolution. It's uncanny the way history repeats itself, that what's happening today is just part of that radical enlightenment in the 18th century. Rousseau, who lived from 1712 to 1778, is considered one of the main intellectual founders of the French Revolution. He wrote in 1755, "The Discourse on the Origin and Foundation of Inequality Among Men." Does that sound familiar? The entire BLM movement is based upon a grievance toward alleged inequalities among blacks and whites in America. Now, Rousseau is addressing inequality between the rich and the poor in France. The left today has just added the element of race. And just as Rousseau gave the wrong explanation for inequality that resulted in the Reign of Terror in France, the left today is given the wrong explanation for inequalities today, which is resulting in riots and violence. Because as soon as you convince people that inequalities are not their fault, but the fault of other people, that they're being oppressed by other people, then you invite people to riot in the name of justice. That is, once you convince people that they're being cheated, then they believe they have a right to steal from those they believe have stolen from them and murder those they believe have murdered them. And given the depravity of the human heart, and given the fact that the depraved human heart is always looking for an excuse to do evil, it doesn't take long for people to use these ideological excuses to justify their evil. They heap to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. So what did Rousseau teach? Well, it's exactly what's being taught in universities today, that all morality is relative because all morality is simply a made-up human construct created by the powerful to keep their power and to keep down the oppressed. Rousseau claimed that original man in his natural state was pure and good, but then someone came along and wanted power, so that person created rules. He wanted power over women, so he created a sin called adultery and took away sexual freedom. He wanted power over homosexuals, so he created laws against sodomy. He wanted power over others, so he created the idea of government. And so all of civil society was simply a tool for the rich to keep their riches and the powerful to keep their power. And just like the left today, Rousseau taught that family was not natural. And just like BLM says on their website, Rousseau wanted to dissolve the nuclear family. I mean, for Rousseau, everything was considered a social construct that should be overthrown: property, fatherhood, motherhood, family. And that's critical theory today, that all Christian morality is a human construct just to get power. And along with this, Rousseau taught that a society of true justice can only be attained if the people throw off all of their unliked social conditions. Hence, Rousseau was justifying immorality and the theft of other people's property and violence. And so because Rousseau pushed this lie and the people believed it, it resulted in what it always results in: poverty, pain, and death. And by their fruit, you will know them. And one final note. In Rousseau's personal life, he constantly carried on affairs because of his philosophy that free sex was natural and good. He had 5 children through his wife, and after each child was born, he dropped the child off at the local orphanage. Rousseau was not about to engage in that social construct called fatherhood. And he wrote that his wife objected, but he made her obey. So who is the real oppressor? Rousseau himself. The very one claiming that he is being oppressed. And the same is true today. And if you look into the personal lives of all of these radical leftists promoting these protests and riots, you will also find that they have murdered their children in abortion, and they are engaging in adulteries and gross immoralities and in terrible oppression. You know, all of these philosophies are really just justifications for sin and arrogance. In the words of the humanist philosopher Huxley, the liberation we desired was the liberation from certain political and economic systems and the liberation from a certain system of morality. We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. And so may God have mercy on us, and may he save us from our sins. And with that, I must conclude. The fuller version of this program will be on my YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. The website to access this program and other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. May that resource help you hold fast to the faithful word, Titus 1:9. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to overcome the lie and become people of your truth. In the name of and for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.